Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are listening to this. This is the Not Half Bad Podcast, back again for the third season. I am one of your hosts, Norman Rose, of Rumble in the Garden. And with me, I have Dave White of On the Banks, covering, we both cover basketball. He covers Rutgers, I cover St. John's. And we are always open for your questions and always here to chat about the two New York City area teams.
That's right. It's almost college basketball time.
It really is. It's October 18th. Midnight Madness events have been happening all around the country.
Yes, all starting at like 7 p.m.
Yes, because midnight, it's midnight in England. Or
yes.
In the Atlantic Ocean. Iceland. Midnight in Iceland. That's
there
really
you go.
what we're looking for. And while... did Rutgers have an event? Or are they going to have a Midnight Madness event?
No, I don't think so. Not that I'm aware.
See,
the last time we had a Midnight Madness event, Mike Rice danced to Ice Ice Baby, which was awesome. But
that was awesome. That was kind of the high point of the Rutgers program right there.
Of the Mike Rice era?
Yes, the high point of the Mike Rice era. On the other hand, St. John's, of course, does a pretty hype event every year. They've had, you know, groups like Chitty Bang come through, and last night they had French Montana, a rapper who I've never heard of, but apparently has a lot of cred amongst the youth. Personally, I found his rapping style a little tedious and tired, but I think that's my age showing. I'm on the smart side of 30.
Ooh, so am I.
Yes. And... So yeah, French Montana came, and that wasn't really the big excitement. For St. John's, they had a number of recruits and some interesting comments about players who might emerge next year.
Okay.
So you want to? Do we want to start with that?
Yeah. Who was there? Who was there? I'll give my comments. You tell me who was there, and I'll say what they said last night.
Is this going to be like what do you call those tests where you know I say a word and you say what comes to mind?
Yes.
I say Isaiah Briscoe, and you say...
No, that's not what I say. I say, hello, Coach Cal.
Ow. Oh, okay, okay. Let's
yeah.
do this, then.
All right, here we go.
All right. All right. So last night, attendees included Isaiah Briscoe.
Who told Steve Levin, it's not you, it's Coach Cal.
Ouch. Schick Diallo, the 6'9" forward.
Yes, they've been recruiting him for like 10 years now, right?
Yeah, there's competition from Iowa State, Kansas. Well,
okay, so he's not a JUCO, so he's not going to Iowa State.
They're working hard. You know, Iowa State and Minnesota both have New York guys, guys who actually with St. John's connections too, doing a lot of their recruiting.
Minnesota is an interesting – they landed a couple of good guys. They landed that Dupree kid, right?
McBride, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got Kamani Young, who used to be an assistant at St. John's and was with New Heights for a long time.
I'd watch out for them.
I would, too. Yeah, they got a Patino, you know, so you know that they're let's see. I got no table jokes. Anyway, so – Yeah, so there was Diallo and Briscoe, and also Brandon Sampson, the 6'4" guard out of Baton Rouge.
Nice, he'll commit.
I'm glad you're so confident.
Yeah,
So those are three top 40 guys, but they also had Kasum Yakwe from the 2016 class.
I know nothing about him.
He's very good. He plays at Our Savior New American, so he's from Mali. They had a 2017 wing named Sydney Wilson.
I've heard of him. He's good, but it's early.
They had a Christ the King forward who is a lot less heralded. I don't remember his name. I think it's like Dave Cole. David Cole, yeah. There's a 6'11 forward. I got to look up his name for a second. Sorry. 6'11 forward, Nicholas Richards, who is supposedly from Rosedale. So, you know, he's got a warm place in my heart.
Aww.
He's a 2017 guy. They had a 6'7" forward, DeAndre Hunter from Philly, and another Philly guard, David Beatty.
Nice. Did they bring cheesesteaks?
They did not bring cheesesteaks, but they did take a nice picture with their boy, Rashid Jordan.
David Beatty actually looks
up to Rashid Jordan as a mentor.
So, oh, they took a picture with Rashid?
Yeah.
Steve Levin didn't like try to stand in front of him and hide him from the cameras or the press.
that is a fun, you know, somebody Instagrammed it, you know, some friend of theirs.
Now,
what Dave is referring to right now is that during the media availability before the Red Storm tip-off, Steve Lavin presented a number of his players. He presented all of his seniors, including the walk-on now scholarship player Kadeem Njai.
Yes, my favorite.
His favorite. They whipped out Sir Dominic Poynter and Jamal Branch and Phil Green and D'Angelo Harrison. Christian Jones and David Lipscomb also, they don't play that much, but they are, I think, both technically sophomores. And they were there as well. And Lavin made a statement about why Rashid Jordan wasn't going to be speaking to the media now, or at least until December. He said that he wanted him to concentrate on his academics and game instead of answering questions. Yes. I'm not sure what that means.
So he's not taking tests either, because he doesn't want to answer questions.
Oh, that's cold, man. That's cold.
That's just, sorry. They just hide him better than my son hides our remote control. that's all I'm going to say.
It is interesting, and I'm not really sure why. I mean, there's, if you follow Rashid on social media, I suppose there's the, he says a lot of things, and maybe they're just worried that he'll, you know, have too much bravado, but I didn't think that was a problem at St. John's. You know, I think bravado is appreciated, and the idea is that you're supposed to live up to the bravado that you spew. But yeah, for some reason, I guess they won't. I'm not really sure why. What he's not, I don't know, maybe they do media training and they're just like, you just sound ridiculous.
I don't know.
It's just a strange thing. And you know, I mean, I think only the media members really comment on it. And I don't know that Rashid will necessarily be like that wow, insightful guy. You know, you don't necessarily want to hear from every single player. I mean, there are guys who take a few years to really emerge as somebody you might want to quote from. Phil Green is one. You know, Phil Green, if you got him his freshman year, you know, I think I had him in the, you know, the post game a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And Phil Green was just sort of like, not monosyllabic, but just sort of like, yeah, we played hard. He just didn't really have a lot to say. And, you know, that does make for a good copy, but it's just sort of a weird thing to, you know, very obviously hide Rashid Jordan like that.
Yeah. So, okay, so they had their Midnight Madness. Did they do a dunk contest?
There was a dunk contest. Phil Green won. He beat Chris Obekpa. I don't know what the dunk looked like, but, you know, it's interesting that Phil Green, who is definitely an earthbound kind of player when he's playing in regular games, you know, whipped out a dunk. I think he might have, like, 2-3 dunks in his career in game action.
All right.
And he's, like, you know, 6'1" or so. Yeah. He's got some hops, but, I mean, I also think that maybe he won because he makes the best faces when he goes up for a shot. I mean, you almost want to narrate them. They're amazing. They're like, ah, oh, you know, Haruken.
Just Street Fighter.
Yep. But props to him. I think that's really awesome. And I really, you know, and I think just watching what a lot of these guys have gone through, you kind of, you know, you there's a warm place in the heart. You know, you hope that he has a good game. You know, his family's always there, ready to support him. They're on, they come to all the nearby Midwest games. They're on social media. You know, it's just really cute. You know, it's really cool.
All right.
Standing into shape. So he won the dunk contest. I think there was some sort of mini scrimmage, or maybe there wasn't. I can't really tell. I've gotten a lot of pictures and videos of the introductions, and, you know, it just seemed like, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, there was a lot of dancing around and getting hyped, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just sort of like a hype show. And but the crowd was big. Crowd was live. Nice. They were really into it. They chanted the players' names, the 2015 players. Okay. Those guys said that they felt the love, according to Roger Rubin, the Daily News writer. So, yeah, I think, you know, all in all, a relatively successful event. Those things don't necessarily, you know, clinch or not clinch a recruit, but, you know, they're good. You don't want the fans to be like, yeah, I don't know, I don't care.
Yeah.
This is like going to the rack. I'm like falling asleep.
We beat Michigan.
Wait, what? Michigan?
In football. Yay, we stormed the field.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I remember I watched that game. It was quite thrilling, but I didn't realize there was a field storming.
Yeah, well, you know, first Big Ten win, you know.
Aw, that's
it was sweet.
Cute.
So, it was, that's what, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's... So that's St. John's. That's St. John's Midnight Madness. I mean, I guess.
I wish I had the cricket sound to do the impression of Rutgers Midnight Madness.
But does Rutgers need a Midnight Madness?
No, they have football games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's...
Well, they bring recruits, you know.
That's their recruiting thing. That's true. So who do they have coming in? Do they have anybody signed for 2015 or anybody that they're looking at? I know that... Well, who's leaving this year? It's Miles Mack.
And Kadeem Jack and Malik Kone are leaving. They have 4 scholarships open. They have a commitment from top 75 point guard in Corey Sanders, who is a Florida kid who's kind of bounced around a little bit. His highlight reel is good, but, like, who shows bad highlights?
That's true.
But,
well, you know, there are a couple of players that St. John's have been interested in, or, you know, some of the walk-ons, where the highlights are just kind of not that interesting. They're, like, free throws.
Yeah.
Wait, so this guy who's bounced around, what school is he at now? Is he at a quality Christian education school?
No, I think he's at a legit school, I think, in Georgia.
Okay.
Let me see if I can look it up. But he's in a Georgia high school. I think they're, you know, he's one of those kids that needs, he's out of Florida.
Mm-hmm. So he can't read.
I didn't say. Well, that was Norman. That was Norman.
Yeah, I will diss Florida up and down the street. Bring it.
He played with Dwayne Bacon, who's a highly
tasty
coveted
player.
Wing. And
Bacon wings.
So yeah, he committed. He looks like he's like exactly the kind of player that Jordan needs. He's he's definitely a pass first point guard. He's like a true point guard that they haven't had since, I don't know, Jeff Billet, you know, one of those kind of players.
And for that kind of Princeton hybrid style, you do need some good passers in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're chasing right now. It looks like they're chasing JUCO power forward Malik Dime, who is down to Rutgers, Washington, Arkansas, and Iowa State because he's a JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
He's picking on Monday. I don't know. I get the feeling that he's probably not coming to Rutgers, but you never know. He could surprise you.
Okay.
And then they just offered 2 kids out of military school, I think prep kids out of a military school in Virginia, Hargrave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they offered Justin Good, who's a shooter, 6'3" shooter, watching his video. And then Kewan Johnson, who's a wing who Florida's kind of chasing. And, you know, it seems like I think Jordan's trying to pick the talented kids who are on the major school's back burner.
Yes.
Like that seemed like what Corey Sanders was, Shaquille Dorson was, you know, DJ Foreman, who's a freshman this year, was like everybody's kind of looking at these kids, and Jordan comes in and offers them and tries to land them that way. So I think that's a good strategy for where they're at.
Yeah, get in there early and then try to, you know, just see, you know,
try to steal them before they blow up.
Yeah, like that guy in North Carolina who decided to decommit. Right, what was his name?
Oh, Butts, Leroy Butts.
Yeah,
or Austin Burnett.
Maybe I'm thinking of Austin Burnett. I don't know.
Yeah,
Leroy Butts is better to talk about because, you know.
Yeah, he's from D.C.
You got to say that decision was ass.
I didn't say that either. That was Norman. That was Norman. Yeah, so I think the new staff, Shoes, is starting to pay off.
But why do you keep yelling Shoes?
Oh, because it's Greg Vitrone, who his nickname is Shoes. And I don't know. I just... Anytime
kind of fun to yell.
He comes up, it's just fun to yell, Shoes! So, and Mike O'Corrin. So,
his name is Pants.
I hope so. And, well, I just like that we have Shoes, and then we have Van Macon and Eddie Jordan. So, you got Vans and Jordans.
Nice.
Yeah.
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
Mike O'Corrin really does have to change his name to, like,
I know, maybe
Slippers.
Yeah, there you go. His
or
middle
Nike
name.
Shoes or
Nike. Nike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
New Balance.
I think he's got to be something different, though. He's got to be like moccasins.
That works.
Mike Moccasins O'Corrin. We're going to start spreading this word. So everybody out there. Mike
Moccasins
O'Corrin.
Nice. All right. I like it.
We'll call him Mox for short.
Yeah. So they're chasing players. I don't know. I think with Rutgers, you're going to see a lot of kids waiting until the spring.
Sure.
Basically,
and I think like St. John's, that there's a lot of that same issue where the guys that they're chasing are top 40 guys. Samson, I feel like, might make a decision. He doesn't seem to have been, like, you know, honestly messing around with what he's been doing. And St. John's has been kind of on him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, Briscoe's recruitment, as you well know, has been up, down, around, and, you know, oh, I'm going to decide in spring. Oh, I'm going to decide soon. Oh, look, Kentucky's interested. How you doing, Kentucky? Kentucky, you looking right. What's up? You know?
Oh, my God.
And then... What?
Oh, that's funny.
And you've got Diallo, who's kept it very close to the vest. But I think the rumor's always been that he's going to decide by, like, middle of the season. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's interesting. And it's interesting to see what it is that's going to convince these players one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. I mean, think you got to look at what kind of season teams are going to have.
Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, that is the other question. You know, I think both teams have the issue that, you know, they haven't been very successful. You know, I mean, I'll talk about, like, St. John's, for example. Last year they lost in the NIT to Robert Morris after just missing the NCAA tournament with a team that you get the idea that they're, I don't know, you get the idea that that team was just off in some way, you know, just a team that didn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after getting all those highly rated recruits, you know, 3 years in, you got to start saying, oh, I don't know, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah. So what are you thinking? Let's start talking a little bit about a season preview for St. John's. Like a quick, like, what are you thinking based on what you know or what you've heard or read or whatever so far? I know it's early, but
no.
It's your vibe.
No, I've thought about this extensively. I think that there's a very interesting question that will be answered, I think, in the first few weeks, really. I think there's a real question of whether there's a little addition by subtraction going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not because, mm-hmm. you know, Jakar mm-hmm. Sampson and Orlando Sanchez and or God's Gift are bad players.
Mm-hmm.
And also even, you know, Max Hooper and Marc-Antoine Bourgault. You know,
Hoopa!
There are five players who left, but there's something about that team that just didn't work. And, you know, you can put it in harsh terms, or you could just say that you had often on the court five guys who did a lot of the same things and not enough guys that did the little things, you know? You didn't have a lot of role players. You didn't have a lot of guys who thought, oh, let me move the ball around. And you didn't really have the sense that the offense in particular was aimed around the idea of, let me get the ball to a guy who's cutting. You know, it was a lot of individual action.
Right.
So even when it wasn't, you know, because you could say that, well, you know, Jakar Sampson, all of his, like, many long two-pointers were all assisted. That's great. But, you know, that shot at, like, 25 seconds in the shot clock, that's a shot that's like one simple action. You know, it's like Phil Green bringing the ball up, Jakar Sampson throwing out a weak screen and then rolling, but not really rolling, popping, really, mm-hmm. out to the 18-foot mark, catching the ball and shooting immediately without really looking at what the rest of the court is doing.
Yeah.
And those kind of, I don't know, I mean, maybe that kind of quick action will still happen, but one almost feels like, you know, Jakar was fed a lot of shots. And
right.
then Orlando Sanchez would sometimes try to over-dribble or dribble his way all the way up the court. Not that it was necessarily always a bad idea, but sometimes you just kind of felt that, you know, the offense had just devolved into five guys going, I don't know, I think this is what I'll do, you know?
Right.
And I think that there's still going to be some of that because Rashid Jordan and D'Angelo Harrison both will take isolation moments.
They're freelancers a little bit.
And it's not, you know, it's not a terrible thing. I think can create. But
it's a terrible thing when your whole team is freelancers.
Yes.
One or two guys, you're okay.
Yeah. I mean, Phil Green, one of the best things about his game last year is that he became more of a spot-up shooter in the corner. You know, that corner three is, you know, very effective, even if the Los Angeles Lakers right now have decided that they're not going to shoot any of them. I don't know if you've heard about that. That's really funny.
I haven't.
Yeah, the Lakers have decided that the three-pointer is not for them.
Oh, well, you know, that's nice.
Yeah, everybody's going to pat them on their head as Kobe and crew go to, like, 20 wins. But, yeah, I mean, for real, though, I mean, Phil Green started playing like a role player instead of over-dribbling and then looking for the pass. And not that, you know, you know, that's fine. That's part of what I think everybody on the team did. But it's good for a player to find a role where he doesn't need the ball, because there's only 35 seconds on the clock. And when you have one guy dribbling for 5 seconds and then another guy dribbling for 5 seconds, you've taken a lot of time off of that clock.
Yeah.
All of that is to say that there is a sense that if things work well, mm-hmm. you have a team that might be a little bit more offensively balanced. You'll have guys who only try to score at the rim in Keith Thomas and Chris Obekpa, because really they're not trying to take long jump shots. And then you have Omar Alibegovic, who, if he can play, will probably take a lot of threes. And if you actually have guys playing at the rim and you don't have everybody taking shots in the mid-range, maybe there's a little more space for others to operate. Maybe the offense is a notch better and can make a few more of those big shots. Maybe they can defeat teams like Xavier and Villanova that just pack in the defense.
Right.
Because really those teams just did one thing. They seriously just played off of the perimeter and said, yeah, take some jump shots. And St. John's, unfortunately, you know, took the bait, took a lot of bad shots, and had, you know, crap offensive efficiency in every one of those games. I think against Xavier and Villanova, I think they cracked 90 points per 100 possessions once. I might be wrong on that, but that's the number that I remember. It was like 85, 89, you know, just like crappy numbers. Like, you want 100 points per 100 possessions, which is like basically like, you know, every other shot is, you know, going in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think so.
St. John's could be, you know, similarly good on defense and passable on offense, and yeah, they could get to the NCAA tournament.
You think their roster? I know they had a lot of trouble at the end of the year with their recruiting in terms of just trying to land people and people leaving. Do they have a full roster this year now, or are they short? I'm not sure.
They might be short. Well, I mean, one guy, there's a walk-on scholarship in Kadeem and Jai. And then a short one more, I can't remember. I actually have to stop and count it up again. But they're pretty much filled.
Okay, well, 11 is kind of what you play, you know, anyway. So that's good. All right.
And by the way, I was wrong about the offensive efficiencies. They cracked 90. Their worst offensive game was against Xavier at home, where they scored 80 for 100 possessions. And then against Villanova, they had 84.6 away, and then they had a 295. So which is basically to say, like, you know, these were, you know, four of their, like, seven crappiest games, which also included Longwood. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Longwood. I remember that podcast.
So mature. So mature.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's St. John's, right?
And what about Rutgers?
Rutgers, if you're looking for a season prediction, I think Rutgers is kind of in the same place as St. John's was, just a couple rungs below them in terms of, you know, wins and talent.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an addition by subtraction kind of thing again.
Who left last year? That would be the subtraction.
Well, five players are gone, and only two of them graduated, and the other three were juniors. So,
Who left? I know Seagear is gone.
Wally Judge and J.J. Moore retired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not retired, graduated.
Yeah.
So they're your seniors that are kind of out. And then Jerome Seagear's transferred to UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
Devon Campbell transferred down to like a Division III school. And Craig Brown left as well. Another JUCO player.
I thought Craig Brown was the guy who was supposed to be like the team captain or something like that.
No, that was Greg Lewis that they kind of stuck in there as the team captain. He's still around.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jordan, you know, kind of did some house cleaning, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Seems
like it was needed. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we've talked about J.J. Moore's game and, mm-hmm. you know, his lesser angels, I suppose.
Right. So, I mean, if you want to look for optimism, I think you have to look first to the seniors. The two senior leaders that were there, Wally Judge and J.J. Moore, who we've talked about, were not, you know, the really – how do I put this? They're not the senior leaders that you rave about after the season is over for keeping everybody in line.
Yeah.
But now you have three senior guys who are apparently the team's hardest workers in Kadeem Jack, Miles Mack, and Malik Kone. Mm-hmm. They're kind of, you know, they've been there 3 years. They were highly rated and highly recruited, at least Mack and Jack were. And they haven't won. And you have to think they're in the, this is my last season, I'll do anything it takes to win kind of place. If you're looking for a comparison for what this what you can expect this season and what I'm thinking, I would look back to Mike Rice's first year, where you had Mike Coburn, James Beatty, and Jonathan Mitchell as your three seniors who would do anything it would take to win, and everybody else kind of fell in line. So I think that the upside of this season is you don't want to get run over in the non-conference. You know, come out of the non-conference okay, because they have a toughish non-conference schedule.
Really?
And, yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, it's not like saying there's no cupcakes, but they're at St. John, at Seton Hall, at Clemson,
at Manhattan. Interesting, tougher than you'd think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that game up. A Manhattan game that's tough. They have LaSalle. They have Vanderbilt, and then the winner of LaSalle, Virginia.
And you said George Washington, right?
George Washington, they opened the season with.
Who are, you know, I know that might not sound, yeah.
No, that's a tough game.
Yeah, that might not sound tough to those who aren't listening, but George Washington's a tough team this year.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, it's a tough non-conference. So you want to, you know, you want to come out alive. And then I think you want to kind of not get blown out in the Big Ten conference season and find an upset or two there. You know, get Jordan that signature win, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's your upside is 11th in the Big Ten. They're predicted 14th. That's okay. Last.
I was going to say, how many teams are in the Big Ten? Because you know that number.
I know that's anything. Yes, yeah. I know. So they're predicted 14th, which is last. I think their top is like 10th or 11th. That's their upside. And that's if they have no depth whatsoever at point guard or wing.
Is Kerwin Okoro eligible? What's up with that?
He's there. He's eligible. He can play. He's probably last guy off the bench, mm-hmm. you know, before Ryan Johnson and Ibrahim Diallo, who were both partially eligible. Is that the right phrase?
No, I thought they were both, like, ineligible for the year. Like, they could practice, but they couldn't play.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's called partially something. So they're out this year.
So what newcomer they have? They have just Ryan Johnson, right? Who can play?
Oh, who can play? They have three guys who can play. They have Bishop Daniels, who's a junior who seems to be taking more of the lead guard role over Miles Mack, which surprised me.
Interesting. He's from Miami, right?
He was at Miami, and then he went JUCO, and now he's here. He kind of bounced around a little bit. But Jordan has been raving about Bishop Daniels' ability to get on in the open court, ability to get to the rim, and his defense.
He was supposed to be a good defensive player, if I remember correctly, coming out of high school.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know. Because defense.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, though.
Defense was, you know, last year, and our defense was. They have Shaquille Dorson, who's apparently just a beast in terms of size. Mm-hmm. He's something like 6'10", 250 pounds.
Not a beast just in terms of his buffet eating?
Well, you know, whatever it takes to fill space. I haven't seen him, so I don't want to comment. And they have Dwayne Foreman, who's a power forward, who was, I mentioned him earlier, Kentucky kind of looked at him a little bit. It's apparently a real steal by Eddie.
Okay.
In terms of recruiting. And Mike Williams, who's a shooter who they talked about as being New York's best shooter.
Yeah, I've heard him say that, and I know St. John's was on him for a bit. I think, I mean, as I remember, his game wasn't bad. Who was that shooter that they had who was then New York's best shooter, then went to JUCO and hasn't really been heard again?
Mike Taylor.
Mike Taylor.
Yeah, I don't know
what happened to that dude.
I don't know. He didn't qualify, so he went. No, he didn't even go JUCO. He went like D2.
No, he went JUCO. He went somewhere in Texas, I think.
Yeah, and then transferred to D2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. I think that was because when he was JUCO, I looked him up because I don't know if you know this, but after Mike Rice got fired, Eddie had a lot of holes to fill.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, maybe he's JUCO, and I think he went D2, but don't quote me on that. Somebody can correct me.
Yeah.
But no, Mike Williams.
Right. He's D2. It seems. I'm looking it up because this is the sort of thing that our podcast should focus on. Whatever happened to Mike Taylor?
Yes. Yeah. But no, Williams, he's a little undersized.
He's a Medgar Evers. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Division 3, actually.
Oh, see, I told you I was wrong.
Yeah.
No, he's a little undersized, Mike Williams, but apparently he's also getting raves in practice. Early in summer workouts, the rumors were going around that he was playing really well, and he seemed to have gotten his confidence, you know, playing the college game in terms of practice, and has been hitting his shots. So that's, you know, another weapon is big. Mm-hmm. And they're going to need him because they only have three. If you're not counting Kerwin, if you count Kerwin Okoro as a wing, they only have three guards.
Yeah.
So
so it's going to be a lot of Iron Man basketball.
Yeah. Yep. So so I think that's best case scenario is 11th. I think I'm hoping for, you know, just make it exciting at home, you know, going to the games and feeling like you're in the game.
Yeah. Maybe knock off Michigan once, you know.
Just yeah, something like that.
Just, it'll become a thing. You know, Rutgers always beats Michigan.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would like that.
Yeah.
You know, their schedule's interesting in terms of conference play because the Big Ten kind of did them a favor. They open with Northwestern and then Penn State, who are, you know, two of the not as good teams.
The minnows of the Big Ten.
Yeah. So they're kind of giving Rutgers a chance to be like, hey, you could start 2-0 before going 2-9.
You know what's going to happen, though? You know that Northwestern and Penn State are both going to really emerge in the Big Ten.
Yeah, thanks.
I just didn't want you to, you know.
It's the Rutgers way.
Yeah, I didn't want you to get your opinion up too much.
No, I wouldn't. I'm just going to drink my coffee.
Yeah.
Thanks for sucking all the enthusiasm I have out of me. Thanks.
That's cool. Not a problem. I'm good like that.
Yeah, but it was Big Ten Media Day this week, so Eddie Jordan kind of said, like, we know where we are, and kind of, like, did some coaches' code speak for, you know, could be a rough year.
Yeah.
But who knows?
But it's, you know, it's a year, and that's all that really matters. You know, it's part of the building process.
But what was interesting is Eddie kind of talked a little bit about one of our favorite topics as Rutgers fans, facilities.
Mm-hmm.
He brought up, you know, he said he was talking to, like, the Purdue coach and Michigan State and seeing how they have all this stuff, these practice facilities and full-time strength and conditioning coaches and stuff like that. And Rutgers has none of that. He said he felt like he needed to apologize to the other teams when they visit the visiting locker room.
Wow.
Yeah, he kind of fired a shot across the bow of, hey, football has all this stuff. Let me read his quote, because he kind of put it on Julie Herman, who's the Rutgers AD, like, it's time to get this done. It's time to give us a practice facility.
Well, for sure. I mean, I'll wait for the quote, but I will say that given that they are now in the Big Ten, it's time to step up all the facilities, yeah, because that's what, you know, having big time football is supposed to do. So, yeah, give me the quote.
Here's the quote. It's a little longish, and I'm gonna skip all the Jordan says and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But here we go. Look, this is all Eddie Jordan. Look, there's a vision from my new AD. Is it the fourth or fifth version in the last 15, 20 years? Maybe it is. I'm being realistic. Maybe it is. But that's where we are. We all have faith and belief that Julie has the connections, the willpower, and the motivation. Now, can we get it done? That's the only way you can believe it. You have to be on board with it and see. We have faith in her to get it done. Part of it is we're in the best conference, finally, and this is part of getting it done. This is the last step of getting it done. The long view is 3 to 4 years, baby. The Big Ten gives you the motivation to get it done now. If you can't get it done now, it'll never get done. We're in the best conference in the country. We have great leadership in the conference. Let's get it done.
All right. It sounds like a fiery little speech there.
Yeah. I put in his enthusiasm. I don't think he
didn't slam the podium as much as he would have, though.
No, but, you know, I think he's kind of saying to Julie, like, hey, let's get moving here. Because there's all this talk about, oh, I'm happy. Julie Herman always likes to say, I'm happy when the cranes, you know, when there are cranes on campus, like building stuff.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing they've done so far is they've worked on the football stadium a little bit to improve some of the stuff that they needed to improve. And that was still Tim Pernetti's plan. And they put in a new scoreboard at the rec, and that was still Tim Pernetti's plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in terms of Julie Herman taking over and being in the Big Ten, it's time to move a little. It's time to give basketball a little love, folks.
Yeah.
It really is.
Basketball needs a hug.
Yes. I mean, they have to share practice time with the women's team, the wrestling team, and I think in early spring, the baseball team.
Nice.
Yeah, so they have like 6 a.m. practices, and then the next day they'll have a 3 p.m. practice.
That's not cool. No, you got to have your own facility. Even St. John's has their own facility.
Exactly.
Step it up, Rutgers. But with that, we will bring our first episode of this season of Not Half Bad to a close.
The best.
Thank you all for listening. What's our email address again?
Is it nothalfbadpod@gmail?
Yeah, I think you're right. nothalfbadpod@gmail. And you can send us messages on Twitter as well, @NHBpod. Or you can follow us on Twitter. I'm ecoastbias.
And Dave, which is, by the way, since it's almost Halloween, I love E Ghost Bias. That makes me laugh.
Thank you. I saw some of our compatriots changing their names to Halloween themed names, and I was like, E Ghost Bias. Yeah, that kind of works.
Nice.
And Dave is Dave_White on Twitter. So yep. You know, holler at us. Let us know what you think. Follow us on iTunes. We'll have this posted at some point today. And yeah, we want to talk to you. We want to make this. We want to have a good back and forth with the fans and answer the questions that you guys want to have answered.
Yeah, we give you something to listen to on the ride to work.
Have a good day, and we hope to hear you. We hope to have you listen next week or so, or next 2 weeks, sometime soon.